Trivia. Mm-hmm. Also love that our upstairs neighbor is choosing to fucking vacuum
right
when I hit record on another episode of Soon to Be a Major Motion Podcast, the podcast where we read books that were turned into movies and watch movies that are based on books. We are your hosts,
Cody Beck
and Billy Beck. Cody, it's been a couple weeks since we've done one of these. How have you been?
I'm going to wait for the plane to go overhead.
Already just a wonderful edit point.
Incredible.
I hope this is just filled with random noises.
Did you also wake up at 2:30 the other day because there were cops and,
no.
and a helicopter?
Oh, no, I slept through that.
Was I hallucinating or did that actually happen?
I slept through it, so I can't help you there.
I swear I woke up and there were cops, I assume, at the building next door. That way. For those of you in audio.
I like how you just pointed towards the street.
across the street.
Oh, over in the big building.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I swear I heard a cop say, put the weapon down and come out, but I couldn't find anything.
What the fuck?
I couldn't find anything on Google, so I was like, maybe I just hallucinated that?
And meanwhile, I'm a light-ass sleeper, and I'm just... just...
And also, there was just a helicopter circling for like half an hour.
That is more likely. Knowing our neighborhood.
Because that's what woke me up. But it was like a tight circle, which was what woke me up. Other than that, not really anything.
Angel City's back.
Angel City is back. We have not carried on with our strength under Becky Tweed.
No, we have. We only lost one game this season so far.
Yeah, it was our freaking home opener.
I am aware. I was there. We went to Topgolf the other day.
Yes, we did.
It was fun.
Was it fun?
I had a good time.
Did you have a good time?
The nice thing about golf in all of its forms is that the lowest score wins, so I came out on top.
We literally just finished the episode of Game Changer, where Brendan Lee Mulligan goes on his I cannot win rant. And I need you all to know that that was Bill's energy the entire time we were at Topgolf. Just failing to keep a lid on his competitiveness.
So neither of us golf. We mini golf, and that's about the extent of it. When I was a kid, occasionally I would go to the driving range, like with my dad or with like middle high school friends. So I've swung clubs before. I'm just not good at it. So it took me a little while to remember how to hit the ball with a driver. And by the end of the game, I'm hitting the ball pretty far for somebody who doesn't golf. And Cody's taking a driver. And she's swinging it like someone's shoveling snow. Right? One hand is like halfway down the club. One foot's way back behind her. And the ball is bouncing off the edge of the platform and still somehow getting in targets. And she's scoring points and I'm not. I don't understand how that worked. I cannot understand it. And then, of course, our dear friend Amy is just winging them into the fucking targets. And she's not sure how she's doing it either. So it was...
She won both games handily. Well done.
And none of us golf. So it was... it was a fun time. We had a good time.
Also, I almost died, which was fun.
You almost fell off the platform.
Yes!
If you're not familiar with Topgolf, it's a fancy driving range with, like, games that you play and you can drink. And we're on the second floor of three. And Cody shovels some snow and loses balance and starts to topple towards the edge. And she caught herself, and we helped her out, but she almost wound up in the emergency netting.
I was trying to reenact Tarzan.
There was no tiger. The only tiger was your poor form.
Excuse you, Sabor is a leopard.
A big kitty. The only leopard was your poor form.
Listen, you're just mad.
I am mad. I should have scored more points than you. So speaking of last week, we talked about Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Which I still stand by as one of the best family movies ever made. Incredible piece of work. And we requested from all of you out there in the podcast world to send us your embarrassing stories from middle school. And we got a response that I have to read here. This is from Hank in Bucktown. And I quote, "Back in middle school, I lived out in the sticks, so most weekends were spent playing out in the woods with kids from the neighborhood. One Friday night, I came back home early, took a shower, and went to bed early, because the next day I was scheduled to take the SAT early. They had a program at my school that allowed 7th and 8th graders to take the exam just to see where they stood, so I participated. I barely slept that night, feeling uncomfortable in my gut. I assumed it was nerves leading up to the test, but I found I couldn't sit still all morning, even after the test was done. To shorten a long story, that afternoon I found a tick attached to the base of my penis, just above where the balls begin, which is what was causing my discomfort. At least now I can say I got my dick sucked while taking the SAT. Hank, thank you for that.
Okay. We grew up in an area where there were ticks.
I am well aware of this. I had Lyme's disease in high school.
The way that you were taught to avoid ticks is by wearing long sleeves, long pants, tucking things in. How?
So, I can speak on this. When I was a kid, a buddy of mine, we would go BMX riding in the woods near his place. This was after I'd moved to my mom's current house.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a sign out in front of the trail that was like, here's how to dress to avoid ticks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a guy dressed exactly as you say, like long socks, light color clothing, like the pants are tucked into the socks, the shirt's tucked into the pants, he's got the hat on. And this dude on the sign, like, was a cartoon. He looked like the nerdiest fucking guy I've ever seen. And every time we would go out riding there, we would point and laugh at the nerdy guy and then go in like our shorts and t-shirts and crash our bikes. Because this was the mid-aughts. Like,
you are not the only person I know that has Lyme's disease.
I'm not the only person in my family that where I grew up, that county has the second highest rate of Lyme's disease in the country behind Lyme County in what, Massachusetts, where the disease was discovered.
Oh, I thought it was discovered in Pennsylvania.
Oh, it might have been discovered in Pennsylvania, but because it's like named after the county.
Oh.
I could be misremembering things. I didn't research Lyme disease. I didn't think it was going to come up.
How many times are you going to get something that's just a disabling disease that no one really understands?
Me?
Yes. At least twice.
We're trying to think. I feel like there might have been a third one at some point. Does, like, neurodivergence count? Because we're still learning about that shit.
I mean, COVID, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I've gotten COVID once or twice.
I mean, I have an embarrassing story from my own sixth grade.
Would you like to share it, or do you want to save it for next week? Because this will be the prompt for next week as well, considering what we're talking about today.
I will share it, because I'm sure I can dig up another one.
Oh, fantastic.
So, there was a boy that I had a crush on.
Always the first mistake.
He was a total sweetheart. I will not name him. Just give him, like, a slight... In your head, give him, like, a Tennessee Williams name. Like, a little bit fruity.
Like a LaCroix of names.
Yes. Very, very sweet boy. We had been writing letters all that summer between 5th and 6th grade. He went to my church. And I finally got up the courage, the last letter of the summer, to tell him that I liked him. And I got a letter back, and he said that he liked me too, and he wanted me to be his girlfriend. And aww. I was like, aw, okay. So, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, which meant nothing in sixth grade. I don't even think we held hands. I don't even think we hugged.
Well, yeah, he has cooties.
But I was going to kiss him. That was going to be... I was going to do it. I was working my way up to it. It's like Valentine's Day at this point, and we've been dating since the summer.
Baby Cody's to-do list. One, kiss boy.
Two, world domination. So...
Three, kiss girl, question mark?
That was in The Sims. And only when my mom wasn't in the room. So... I had this big elaborate plan, and my elaborate plan was for Valentine's Day, when we exchanged gifts, I was going to take off the necklace that I was wearing, and I was going to act like I was going to give that to him, and then lean in and kiss him.
So smooth.
So smooth. Nope, did not happen. Chickened out.
Well, thank God you didn't chicken out on September the 24th, 2010. Which is a story I'm sure we will tell another time.
Yeah, when we get to, I don't know, the romance ones.
Next Valentine's Day. We told it on the Pride and Prejudice episode that we definitely did.
There is one bookend to the story, which is we never actually, like, officially broke up.
You've been cheating on your boyfriend with me this whole time? You didn't tell me you had a boyfriend, Cody!
I haven't talked to him in 20 years. Also,
he's still pining over you like Wolverine in that meme. He's got a picture of sixth grade you in a frame, and he just strokes it every once in a while, hoping you're well after you went off to the war.
Why are you like this?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no answers for you. You know what else I don't have answers for?
What?
Whatever the fuck we're talking about this week.
Oh, God. What are we talking about this week?
This week's adventure is Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Now, this book came out, what, 2007?
The book was published in 2009.
2009? That late?
It had been a webcomic from 2005 to 2006.
Okay, there's no way it was that late.
It was published in 2009.
I'll take your word for it. If we're wrong, roast her in the comments.
Wait, no, it can't. Hang on.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like, the year 2007 is in my head for a reason. And it's because I think I looked it up.
You probably did.
We're off to you know a what? Blinding start here.
Yes. It was 2007.
Okay, okay, okay.
I was thinking of the movie.
Okay, which was 2010.
Yeah, but...
So you're still wrong.
2009, 2010 is connected in my head. It's fine.
I'm not gonna dig deep in that. So when this came out in 2007, how aware of it were you? Because you're a little bit younger than I am. You would have still been in high school, at least.
So I was only aware of it because one of my nephews, my oldest nephew, was into these. And he was...
Oh, no.
He was, like, the perfect target age for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's 8 years younger than me, so I would have been, you know, turning 18. No.
I was turning 18.
You were turning 18. I was back in 2010.
So he was like 10.
Yeah, he was like between 8 and 10 as they were starting to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was perfect target age. I just remember seeing him be like, oh, they're doing, someone else is like ripping off the Captain Underpants idea and just doing like comic book stories.
Yeah.
I didn't really look into it. I knew they were making a movie of it. I was like, oh, these must be pretty popular. And, I mean, I've seen, like, the memes from the movie and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen, like, the big one. The audition scene. Like, I've seen that one.
But I've also seen, like, there's, like, photos of the best friend, Rowley, that, like, goes around as a meme.
Oh, yeah, I've probably seen those, too. Just didn't recognize them.
Yeah.
My introduction's a little different because my mom is a reading teacher. And
does your mom feel about these?
Pretty soon, I'm going to have to say was.
Mm.
She retires this year.
At the end of
the school year. She's almost done. Dang. Yeah. Which means she's going to be around here a lot more often. So my mother is a reading teacher, and I believe these books were on her reading list at one point.
I mean, they're incredibly popular.
I know I've seen the cover of the book before, and I'm pretty sure either it was part of a program she does called the Reading Olympics, which is like kids read a bunch of books, and then there's like a trivia night, if I remember correctly. I used to help her out with it, but I don't fucking remember. Or like a kid was reading it, so she was reading it to get an idea of what she was reading.
Yeah.
And I remember when the movie came out, because like that poster was ubiquitous, right?
Yeah.
And I was too old for this shit. Like the book came out as I was graduating high school. The movie came out when I was a junior in college. So I didn't pay any attention to it. And I remember going home one time, and I think my mom and sister were watching it and told me it was good. Now, that's my memory. I came to a realization the other day that all of that might have just been How to Eat Fried Worms, and I accidentally recommended the wrong fucking shit.
Oh, no. Is that... That's not Sacker. That's the other guy.
Is that, who is that?
Frindle.
Frindle?
Right? No, Frindle's the other book by that same author, I think.
Thomas Rockwell.
Oh.
I don't know. I wouldn't have been able to name that. So, yeah, I might have... All of those memories might have been How to Eat Fried Worms. And maybe it's because there's a scene at the end where somebody eats something gross. But I feel like I'd seen the How to Eat Fried Worms movie as well. Because that was 2006.
I never saw the movie, but I read that book.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I read the book too. But besides the point, we did Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Cody read it. I watched it. And right now, we're going to watch a trailer.
Do we have to?
Unfortunately, we do. It's part of the gimmick, dear.
Are you sure you don't want me to walk you in?
Mom!
Okay.
Mom.
Have a great day, sweetie pie!
Let me just say for the record that middle school is the dumbest idea ever invented.
This place is an intellectual wasteland.
You got kids like me who haven't hit their growth spurt yet, mixed in with gorillas who have to shave twice a day.
Based on the best-selling book.
Don't talk to anyone, don't look at anyone, don't sit down.
So not happening.
Ah, who am I kidding? You'll be dead or homeschooled by the end of the year anyway.
Thank you for those words of motivational wisdom.
20th Century Fox presents Greg.
I heard girls say that Bryce Anderson has a cute butt.
A butt can't be cute. It's a butt. There's Bryce, just be cool. Hey, Bryce.
Yeah, hey, Bryce. Cute butt.
Rowley.
This one, we burn.
It was a present from my mom.
Well, then your mom is trying to get you killed.
Patty.
Make your move!
She's a girl. Where do I grab her?
Chirac.
Stop!
You almost got the cheese duct.
Fregly.
Wanna see my secret freckle?
Yeah! It's got a hair in it.
Roderick.
What did I tell you would happen if you ever went in my room again?
I'm going to kill you.
Run!
Let go, baby hippo!
Manny. And Coach Malone.
You guys are going to be
shirts.
And you will be skins.
Why aren't we skins?
He's just trying to make kids like us feel bad.
What do you mean kids like us?
My name is Belle-Ean Button. What's yours?
One day I'll be rich and famous. But for now, I'm stuck in middle school with a bunch of morons.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
This is not a diary. It's a journal.
90 minutes of that. 90 minutes of that. 90. Greg Heffley is a little shit entering the sixth grade with his best friend Rowley. His one goal this year is to be named most popular in the yearbook. The school works against him with its lack of stall doors in the bathroom, limited cafeteria seating, and a 4-plus-year-old slice of moldy cheese on the blacktop that curses anyone who touches it with the cheese touch. In his attempt to become popular, Greg destroys some teenager's pickup truck, the school production of The Wizard of Oz, and his one real friendship by being a selfish jerk in various ways. At the end of the year, he mends his friendship by claiming he ate the cheese, when really, Rowley was bullied into it by the teenagers. He doesn't apologize for any of his behavior. What a happy ending. Cody, what do you want to talk about?
I was going to save this for, you know, later. There's 19 of these!
What the fuck? How many years does he get held back?
I read the brief synopses of, like, all of them. Like, they're literally, like, one or two sentences. By the end of it, they've all done such a shitty job at school that their school is going to lose funding because of No Child Left Behind.
That's actually hilarious. Like I said, the school has no stall doors in the upstairs bathroom.
That's not...
Which I would never use the bathroom then.
That's, like, not a thing in the book.
Oh. Lucky you.
So, we talked a lot in the last episode about, like, how Margaret was kind of developing her emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And reading this, like, that book obviously has a girl's name and there's a girl author, so of course it's going to be pushed towards girls to read, and boys aren't going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the kind of literature that girls are reading, and Diary of a Wimpy Kid is the kind of literature that's being pushed towards boys...
Literature is a really strong word to describe this book.
I understand why we have a plague of incels in the United States at this point.
It makes fucking sense if 15 years ago I was reading this shite.
Like, I understand. I understand that we are not the target audience. But also, like you said, he never learns any lessons.
No.
He
never even fucking apologizes for being a shithead to his best friend.
There's no morals. And, like, he talks about how, oh, my big brother's so mean to me. We only ever see him do, like, gentle pranks, like, which honestly is really funny, the one where he wakes him up and then goes back, wakes him up and says he slept through the whole summer.
In the movie, they made it even, like, lamer, and they, like, he just sets his alarm the night before or the week before and, like, wakes him up. He's like, you're late for school!
And, he actively terrorizes his little brother. Like, repeatedly is shown in the drawings kicking things out of his little brother's hand or throwing things at his little brother or just generally bullying his little brother.
Is that how he shows affection? Because, like, he and his best friend play a game, which I don't think is even named in the book.
It's not.
It's not named until the animated movie, which I'll talk about later. Rumble Trike, where Rowley rides a big wheel down a hill and Greg tries to hit him with a football.
Now, is that trike the trike that Rowley got Greg for Christmas?
Is it?
In the book, that's what it is. And Greg is disappointed.
Rowley got his best friend a fucking big wheel for Christmas?
Yes.
What a fucking cool kid. My best friends would give me gift cards if they got me anything at all.
And Greg is disappointed that it's babyish, and that's when he comes up with the idea to do Rumble Trike, which is not named in the book, but...
What a piece of shit!
Right?
What a little shithead!
Like, I know that I said, I don't know if I said this on the podcast or while we were talking, but, like, I know that children are sociopaths. This is an actual fucking sociopath.
This kid's nuts. Like the opening monologue is... One day I'm going to be rich and famous. So here's my diary so you can all read it and see how I had to put up with all these shitheads. And the whole thing is you're the shithead and you don't learn.
Yes. And it's like, not... He's also going out of his way to say it's not a diary because that's for girls. It's a journal. And it's his mom's fault because she bought him a book that says diary on it.
Oh, wank, wank, wank.
But also, like, we also had a big conversation about the, like, inner lives of our parents and, like, understanding that your parents are people, too.
Yeah, that's something that I really loved about Margaret.
There is none of that.
I have notes. I took stream of conscious notes while I was watching this one. And these parents, are they ever gonna parent? Oh, the dad's an asshole, too. Got it. Dad looks constipated the whole movie.
Like, his dad is... only ever, like, kind of a dick. But also, is he actually being a dick, or is this just an annoying child, you know? Like, obviously, when you're a little kid, yeah, you want to play video games instead of playing outside. Yeah. But you don't then fucking go outside and run through the sprinklers to pretend that you're playing outside. You just fucking played outside.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked playing. Like, I loved playing video games when I was a kid. But if someone was like, yo, let's go, like I said earlier, let's go ride bikes. Let's go, like, play, like, soccer or whatever in my backyard. Like, yeah. Because I wanted to hang out with my friends. And I didn't care what we were doing if I was hanging out with my friends and, you know, getting that energy out and playing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, hanging out. It's called hanging out in sixth grade.
Yeah, you can't say play. You have to say hang out.
Like, that's so unbelievable the way that... And there was a scene in the trailer that did that. And I assume it's like that in the book, too. Where, like, the mom says, like, have a good day, sweetie pie. And every kid stops and turns and laughs.
I feel that, like...
That shit never happened when I was in sixth grade.
No, it's like... It feels like we're seeing the world as he feels it, as Greg feels it, which is, like, everyone's paying attention to him all the time. No one's fucking paying attention to you, little shit rag.
That would make more sense in the... Because the book, I assume, is written, like... Diary entries? Mm-hmm. Sorry, journal entries?
Yes, it is epistolary.
Okay. The movie drops, like, it's narrated, so it is all kind of from his perspective, so I can understand that. But that whole bit was done so much better in Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse.
Because he was in high school, not middle school.
Because he's in high school, and his dad is doing it over the loudspeaker from his cop car. And he's not just saying, have a good day, which... Every kid at that school that got dropped off by their parents, mom or dad said, have a good day. That's just what you say. But, like, in Spider-Man, his dad is like, say I love you. Say it back. So he's, like, egging it on, you know?
Yes.
And even then, like, everyone doesn't stop turning and laugh.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, bothered me. There were two or three moments that, like... Like, the, hey, do you want to come over and play? And then everyone in the cafeteria becomes silent and stares. And, like, and this is part of him being a little shit, too. There's an easy out there. Hey, do you want to come over and play? Oh, Twisted Wizard? Sure. Done. We're playing video games. No one's going to notice. But, like, pulling him aside, like, you can't say play, you got to say hang out. Or the big kids are going to bully us. You're already getting bullied, you little shit. And you deserve every minute of it.
You know, the, not to bring up, like, an abuser or whatever, but you know the bit in John Mulaney's stand-up where he's like, you know when you're 14 and you're like, if anybody looks at me, I'm gonna kill myself. Like, that's the energy that this little puke has for the entire fucking book.
Yeah.
But he also, like, simultaneously wants everyone to think he's cool and funny.
But he has an overinflated ego, too. Does he, like, claim a popularity score at the beginning?
Yes. Yes, he does.
19 out of, what, 280?
Oh, no, he doesn't think he's that high. He thinks he's in the 50s.
He thinks he's number 19 at the start of the movie. Like, you just got finished telling me that you are the second shortest kid in your grade. And that, luckily, the shorter kid gets beat up, so you don't. And you think you're 19th most popular in the fucking school? What is wrong with you?
Like... I really am trying to have, I don't want to say empathy, because, like, he's a fictional character, so it's not empathy. I'm really trying to look at this as a piece of fiction, like, holistically, and be like, yes, I am not the target audience, but what are people gleaning from this? And I don't, every argument that our parents levied against Captain Underpants screams about this book. Screams accurately to be said about this book. Captain Underpants had, like, morals and a point.
Like, in Captain Underpants, it's been years, decades since I've read Captain Underpants, but I remember the two main characters at least having something that they like to do.
They like to draw comics. They draw their comics,
right?
Yes.
Like, he has his doodles in his diary, Greg. But, like... It's not something we see him doing in the movie. You see it more in the diary because they're there, right? They're printed on the page. So you see his little illustrations of what he's talking about. But there's not scenes, except for one scene, there's not scenes in the movie where, like, he gets home and, like, doodles something and then something else happens and spurs the plot along. The only time we see him as a character draw is when he's trying to become the school paper cartoonist.
The only hobbies he ever has are things that make him feel superior to Rowley and things where he thinks he can get something out of it.
Exactly. Like there's a bit in the middle where somebody says, like, just be yourself. Like, and it's supposed to be, you know, a more essential theme, a moral, like, if you be yourself, then you'll be happy. He has no personality. His only personality is whatever he, like you said, whatever he thinks will make him more popular.
Yeah.
The only reason he auditions for the school play is because he thinks then he'll be popular.
So, when I was in, now this wasn't sixth grade, this was by the time I started eighth grade. I had a really solid core group of friends, and we were the weirdos. So we, like, embraced the fact that we were weird. I was the weird Hot Topic kid. I didn't wear a tail. I never went that far. But, like, I would wear the sweatbands with, like, the kanji on them.
I feel like the tail is, like, modern Hot Topic kids. Our generation Hot Topic kids is, like, the sweatshirts that go to your palms and you tuck your thumb through the hole. And the fucking scene kid hair. Like, that's our generation.
I didn't have the money for the fancy pre-cut holes, so I just dug my holes through.
I just wore sweaters until they popped in there. And he started wearing them like that.
It also helps that most things are way too long because I am a short baby person arms. With little baby arms. also, score for neurodivergence because I like it that way.
What you couldn't see is the double finger guns. A true, true bisexual.
Like, and I remember, like, I'm pretty sure looking back on it, like, I was being bullied. My bullies were attempting to bully me, but I was so blissfully unaware socially and also just, like, so secure in my weirdness that it didn't fucking bother me. And that's something that, like, I kind of started to grow out of that and get more insecure in high school. And I think my issue is that this whole... Yes, moving to sixth grade is a scary transition. But I feel like the difference between eighth grade and ninth grade is a lot scarier than the difference between fifth and sixth grade.
Oh, yeah. Like
if you had aged him up and made this something that was happening in the transition to his freshman year of high school, absolutely.
Like the bit in the trailer that you saw where he unfortunately calls a brown man a gorilla. Which just casual fat shaming, homophobia, racism all around this. Too much that I don't even want to get into it that much. But like that joke about somebody shaving twice a day, I didn't know any eighth graders that shaved. I knew seniors in high school that did. That's a fucking high school joke.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, because generally boys hit puberty later than girls do, or it hits them harder when it does hit.
Yeah.
Like, I was going through puberty for probably 6 years, but it was more gradual. Whereas I, you know, left for a summer and came back, and every male friend that I had all of a sudden had a beard. Or, like, their cheekbones grew in, and I was like, oh no, you're hot now.
Is that why we started dating in college? You came back from the summer and suddenly I was hot?
No, I met you when you were hot already.
Yeah, well, you didn't meet me the summer before. But yeah, like, a lot of it would make a lot more sense that way.
And...
But yeah, it's so hard to relate to Greg Heffley. Because, like, you have a solid friendship with somebody you get along with.
It's like reading Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, from Nancy's point of view. But at least Nancy's redeemable.
At least Nancy, like, doesn't change who she is between home and hanging out with friends and then when she gets to school. She's not trying to be... I mean, she's trying to be popular, but that's, like, she still has her core group of friends, and she's not selling them out to be popular. She's trying to help them be popular, too.
I don't understand. One of my biggest, like, I don't want to call it an ick because I don't like using that term, but that's, like, the quickest way to explain it. Like, one of my biggest turnoffs in any piece of fiction is if you can ask the question, or if the plot or any of the problems can be solved by one person not being friends with someone anymore, I don't like. I don't like that whole thing. And all, like, I know I'm not making a lot of sense right now. I'm kind of tripping over myself.
I'm following you. Like, you don't like when... I'm not going to repeat what you said. That's mansplaining.
No, I'm following you. If Rowley were not friends with...
Greg,
yes, thank you. Didn't even want to remember his name. If Rowley were not friends with Greg, Rowley's life would be infinitely better.
We see it for a bit. Does that happen in the book, too, where, like, they break up for a while?
Yes, after Greg is a huge dick weasel to him for no reason.
And then all of a sudden, Rowley has a new best friend, and they can be themselves around each other, and... Oh my god, they're popular because they're themselves?
And Rowley's, like, funny and nice and charming, and everyone people like him?
Fucking likes him, because he's not trying to be something he's not.
Does he break Rowley's hand playing Rumbletrike?
Yes.
Okay, and Rowley gets everyone to sign his cast, and then he pretends he has an infection so other people will give him affection?
And the only person who cares is Fregley, because Fregley's just into that, I guess?
So I'm gonna go a little niche here.
Okay.
Not to bring up bad news, but I am gonna bring up Nickelodeon multiple times.
Oh boy.
For those of you in the future, the Quiet on Set documentary just came out the week that we're recording this. So that's why it's a little whoo to talk about Nickelodeon right now. But the show Drake and Josh. There's an episode where Josh finally, like, gives up on Drake and is just like, nope, you're your own fucking problem now.
That episode's called Reality. And Josh Peck was better for it.
So that, I just wanted to see that for Rowley, and I just wanted Rowley to be free of this little puke who is just using him for his video game systems.
No joke, I cheered in the scene when Rowley is like, no, we're done. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Good for you, Rowley.
Like, fuck yeah. And then when they fight at the end, I'm like, kick his ass, Rowley. Like, you've earned it.
They don't fight in the book. I wish they did.
They don't, like, throw punches, but they, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, yes, the climax.
Yeah, the climax is the when the teenagers show up and make him eat the cheese.
Yeah.
Yes. So, getting, since we're already on the subject of Nickelodeon, this book was nominated for Favorite Book at the Nick Choice Awards. Do you know how many times?
How many did you say there were? 19?
No, specifically Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the first one.
More than once? Don't they have, like, award years? Wait, they do books at the Kids' Choice Awards now?
They do favorite book, yeah.
No shit. Because I know this was nominated for, like, favorite movie, and it did not win.
The first year it was nominated was 2008. The last year it was nominated was 2023.
Has the 2024 event happened yet?
I don't think so. I think they usually happen in, like, May.
Great.
But also, they're probably not going to happen this year. It was nominated only in 2009, 2013, and 2023.
Okay.
It won 2008, 2010, 11, 12, 14, 15, and 16.
Just the first one.
Just the first one.
Why? Oh, because children don't have taste. Duh.
Oh, I was going to say because they stopped teaching how to read.
Yeah, Zoomers can't read and has pictures. Zoomers Gen Alpha. Sorry, Zoomers. You're adults now. Still getting used to that.
I mean, it doesn't mean they can read.
Sorry, Gen Xers still call them millennials.
Man, we just, like, pissed off everyone.
Hey, all at once. We actually are millennials. That's all we're good at. Hey. Killing industries and pissing off the elderly and the youths.
So yeah, just a little bit of backstory about this book, because this blows my mind. So, I told you it started as a webcomic.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on this. The first book alone. For 8 fucking years.
Christ.
8 years to get that garbage.
If I spent 8 years on anything, I'd expect it to at least have a point.
So, another thing along with the Nick Choice Awards that absolutely blows my mind is that this is the 4th best-selling book series of all time.
In, for that, genre, for youth, right?
No.
No?
It is over $500 million in revenue.
Because I saw that same stat, but I thought it was just for kids lit, because it was like Harry Potter was number one.
It did not have any qualifications on it, but let me go ahead.
I could have sworn I saw that. I can't remember what the other two were, but I mean, you very well might be right.
No, it just says list of best-selling book series, which is the Turf Books, Goosebumps, Perry Mason, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
That might be why I thought it was kids, because they're still all kids lit.
Because kids lit is usually the only ones that have like long series like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's what 145 Goosebumps. HP was its own bullshit.
Oh, 50 Shades is in there.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, like, Twilight and 50 Shades would be in there somewhere.
Ooh, Chronicles of Narnia. It is a crime that The Hunger Games is below Chronicles of Narnia and this.
I think it's the government holding down the revolution.
But yeah, more than 100 million copies.
That's... Well, when there's... How many did you say? 19 of them?
Yes.
That helps.
The approximate sales are 275 million.
I'm just looking longingly at my Animorphs collection, just back when Kids Lit was good. I don't have stats on the movie. It did well enough that they made 3 sequels and then rebooted it, and the reboot has a sequel. Real fucking Disney Channel original movie energy from this.
Disney Channel original movies at least tried to have a moral.
In production quality, not in writing.
So another thing is that the author, Greg Kinney, not Greg Kinney.
I was like...
Jeff Kinney.
Like, Greg Kinney. Greg Kinney is somebody different and good.
No, Jeff. Jeff Kinney. Sorry, I was thinking of the little shit. He describes Greg as an anti-hero. He's not an anti-hero, because anti-heroes are still, like, interesting and relevant to the plot.
Yeah, he's, like, at least with an anti-hero in normal stuff, I can at least empathize with their fucking motivations and stuff, whether or not I agree with them. This kid's just a little demon. He's just a fucking demon spawn.
Yes. Like, no self-awareness. Never admits that he's made a mistake or done something wrong. It's always somebody else's fault.
Yep.
Which, yes, I understand that those are all phases in childhood, but you have to learn to take accountability.
And it's okay to... Exactly. It's okay to have a character that's like that, as long as at the end of it, they recognize that that's what they were, and they learn from it. I would not show this to a child, because it just... enables a child to be a little vomit stain. Like,
and
everything works out for him. Like, oh no, he has to leave school cops.
Like, at least Scott Pilgrim gets punched a couple times.
Yeah. He gets killed at one point. and then he learns the lesson. Yeah, no, like the only punishment Greg gets is also hilarious that he's like, I want to be a school cop. It's like, of course you want to be a fucking cop.
So, fun fact, the author was in college while he was working on the webcomic. He switched his major from computer science to criminal justice so he would have more space, more time to work on the comic.
Yeah, because cops don't learn. I yelled at a cop on my way home from work today because he cut me off and then turned right and neither time used his blinker. So I rolled down my window and said, use your fucking turn signal as he was pulling into the fucking police station. But that's a digression. Yeah, the only punishment he faces is the, like, having to admit that he put a bunch of kindergartners in a construction site to hide from what he thought was a bully? Was that in the book?
Oh, no, he's chasing them with a worm in the book.
Oh, that's at least kid shit. Like, so in the way it works out in the movie is he's borrowing Raleigh's raincoat.
Yep.
Because it's raining, and Raleigh can't get his cast wet. So he takes the kids home alone, and then he sees the red pickup truck coming by. And this is after he weed-whacked it with his with stolen fucking shit from his grandmother's house. That happened in the book, right? The Halloween thing?
It didn't have a weed whacker.
Okay, so let me backtrack a little bit. So on Halloween night, they're running from these teenagers in a pickup truck who are trying to fire extinguish them or something. I don't remember. They go to his grandmother's house, and she's not home because it's bingo night. So he gets the key from under the mat, and he illegally enters his grandmother's house. And then he starts taunting the teenagers.
Yep.
And Raleigh inside is like, oh, I will also taunt them by mentioning that we're in here alone. Grandma's not home. So the teenagers are like, oh, we can stay here all night then. You'll have to come out eventually. So they go to the garage, open the garage, and come out with a leaf blower and a weed whacker. And he weed whacks the car, the truck, and damages it. And then the weed whacker sputters out and dies. So he and Raleigh drop the tools and run. You know Grandma got home and filed a fucking police report. Her garage door was open. Her tools are out in the sidewalk. She's got to inventory her whole fucking house now. Ruined Grandma's whole Halloween. She's never going to bingo night again.
His explanation in the book, her house gets TP'd the next day. He's like, well, at least she's retired, so she has plenty of time to clean it up.
Better. Better than having to get fucking cops involved. So later, when... What was I talking about before I went back to that?
The construction site and the red pickup truck.
Oh, yeah. So he's wearing Raleigh's raincoat, walking the kids home, and he sees a red pickup truck come by. And he's like, shit, I gotta hide. Because earlier, Raleigh was with them, like in an earlier scene, and they hid amongst the kindergartners, and the teenagers didn't recognize them. So they survived. So he, like, goes to a construction site with the kids and starts putting them in a hole in the ground. And a neighbor sees Rowley's jacket and goes, Raleigh Jefferson, is that you? And he fucking legs it. He gone. And Raleigh takes the heat for it.
Yep, that's why he... He is wearing Rowley's raincoat and he starts chasing and terrorizing the children with the worm. And, because it had recently rained. And, an old lady, because I guess they're by Rowley's house, recognizes the raincoat and calls the principal and says, hey, did you know your kid that's supposed to be helping is doing this? And Raleigh gets in trouble and apologizes for it.
And he doesn't even know what he did. No. He's just like, I'm getting fired, but I guess I'll apologize because I must have done something wrong. Because he's so fucking sincere.
And then later, Greg admits to him. And then Raleigh goes and tells the... And Greg is mad at him. I'm like, you...
Yeah.
To yourself, you little shit.
Get bent. Like, you've earned your crime, like your time.
As soon as he has any sort of power, he just bullies people that are younger and smaller than him.
No wonder he wants to be a cop. Like, and that's the only punishment he faces. Because even at the end, like, the big climactic moment is the teenagers come back and they force Raleigh to eat the cheese. And they're going to force Greg to do it when, like, Coach Magoo or whatever his name comes out.
No, Greg says, I'm allergic to lactose.
Oh, yeah, he's yelling that while they're trying to force it.
No, apparently that makes them stop in the book.
Oh, thank God they added, like, a real reason. And then they make
Raleigh eat the rest of it.
Oh, Raleigh only takes a bite in the movie?
No, they make him eat all of it.
That's why I said in the movie. I understand when you said that he eats all of it, that he eats all of it in the book. But no, the coach comes out and chases the teenagers away. And then all the kids come back, because they were about to fight. They come back to see what had happened, and they see a bite's missing from the cheese. And they're all like, oh, Raleigh ate the cheese. And he's sitting there like, he's turning green, because he fucking ate 4-year-old moldy cheese. And Greg nobly steps forward and says, no, 'twas I that ate the cheese. What have you sacrificed, Greg? Everyone already hates you. Between your fucking mummy hand infection shit, between dumping your best friend over him becoming the school cartoonist and claiming he stole your idea when he's the one who found the bit funny, between ruining the school play, everyone already hates you. All that you've done is given yourself a title. Just something to yell when they leave the room when you walk in. You've sacrificed nothing. And you still don't even apologize to Rowley.
We didn't even talk about the school play. But before we get to that, he never apologizes.
Nope, not a once.
He's a social pariah because of the cheese touch. But also, he fully admits that if Rowley were not standing right next to him, he would 100% have ratted Rowley out for being forced to eat the cheese.
Oh, absolutely. I think he says that in the narration, too.
Because of actions that he took.
Yeah. He's such a little worm.
He's a monster.
Like, I don't know how Rowley goes back to being his friend. If I were Rowley, I would have just been like, thank you for that. I still want my video game back. Like, or I'll come over tomorrow and play the video game and then take it home. Like, I'll give you a day. Like, I wouldn't still be friends with him.
Nope.
Especially if, like, I had just eaten the fucking cheese and you're being a little whiny bitch about having to do the same thing I did. But then you take all the fucking, you make yourself a martyr. Get fucked. Get fucked.
So, the play.
Yeah.
The whole reason that he joins the play in the book is because he wants to get back at Patty and ruin it for her.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to do it, but then he's forced to do it, and he realizes his mom makes him do it, and he's like, I'm going to get back at her, and it's going to be great. So he becomes a tree in the play.
What's the reasoning behind that?
Everyone signs up to be trees because none of them want to actually sing. But she, then the voice teacher, the choir director, whoever it is, writes a song for the trees to sing.
So in the movie, it's the audition scene that I've seen it on like TikTok and shit.
Yes.
And it's all the kids have to sing Turn Around, which none of these kids would know that song. I barely know that song. That song's old for me. And they're all shit. And then Greg steps forward and sings it in a glorious soprano. And the director is like, I think we found our Dorothy. And he's like, oh, absolutely not. And Patty is like, abso-fucking-lutely not. I am Dorothy. So she makes him a tree. And he's like, oh, good. Then I don't have to sing. And she's like, no, trees have all the songs.
So he stops singing because his brother is going to film it. Roderick brings a video camera and is going to film it. And he stops singing, so the other two trees also stop singing. And then the teacher comes up to try to, because she thinks they just forgot. But then he sees Patty off stage being upset that they're fucking this up for her. So he throws apples at her.
So in the movie, he's embarrassed because Manny calls him Baba or whatever he calls him.
Bubby. Yes.
And, okay, first of all, you're in an auditorium with a couple hundred people. That kid yelling Bubby could be yelling it at any of those guys. No one knows it's about you. And I think Roderick might also be filming. But then he stops. And then the other two stop. And the teacher comes over and she's like, here's the lines. Like, start the song. And then Patty comes out on stage and starts berating Greg. Like, full name, like, you're ruining the play for me, Greg Heffley, and then he starts throwing apples. You and I have both performed in live theater.
Uh-huh.
Somebody, like, I've even had people in the middle of a performance try and talk to me. That doesn't mean you stop. That just draws more attention to the fuck-ups. So if my... I don't know. Say if my sister had a seizure or something in the... I probably shouldn't bring that up. It's a real thing that happened. So if I had a little brother and my little brother, like, yelled Bibu from the audience or whatever when I come out, don't react. Just continue doing what... And if my dad is filming, fine. No one's gonna see it but family. Will it be embarrassing? Probably. You've seen my high school plays. It's embarrassing watching back. But also, like, it's the breaks. Like, I'm doing a live performance for a crowd. It's more crowd that wasn't there on the night. Like, it's going to be worse if your brother's filming you and then somebody comes out and berates you in front of the audience. That's so much worse. He can't think further ahead than 4 seconds.
Yep. And then the thing that, like, the quietly devastating part is that, of course, then the curtain comes down and they end the play and everybody goes home. And he's like, yeah, my mom had a bouquet of flowers, and I guess they were for me, but she put them in the trash as soon as we got out of the auditorium.
Good! You don't deserve them!
Yeah, I am sad for his mom.
Yeah.
His mom was so excited that he was doing something.
And he fucked it up.
Yep.
Due to his selfish behavior, good, get fucked.
Yep.
Similarly to Greg, I've had an audition where I outperformed everyone at one specific task and then got cast in a weird role for it. So when I was in high school, there was a character, like I've alluded to, I didn't hit puberty until fucking college. I've been playing children until I was well into adulthood. I was drinking and playing 15. But we did, so like a lot of times I'd be cast as a kid in the plays, usually smaller parts. What can you do? This play, there were no children. Everyone was in their 20s or 30s. Great. I might have a shot at a leading role. And I'm nailing my audition. And then they wanted me to read for the one French character in a French accent. And I was the only person in that audition who attempted the French accent. So I guess what I got. I got the part in the play with the French accent, which is one scene, 3 pages. All it was. But I didn't fucking ruin it by throwing scissors at an actor who got a bigger role.
It just, I understand. I understand that kids are learning how to be people and they don't necessarily know all of the rules and how many people they're going to disappoint, and that's how you learn, et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't fucking learn.
Like, the point, like, and granted, yeah, there are some kids in reality, in the real world, that don't learn. But the whole point of a book for kids or a movie for kids is so that the kids watching the movie can see the character learn from the mistakes and go, okay, when I'm in this situation in my real life, maybe I don't do what Greg Heffley did because he learned from it. But if they see Greg Heffley get away with it and, like, the only punishment is he doesn't get flowers? In 2007, where a boy receiving flowers might be a little gay? Like, you're almost more likely to get a kid act up. That's me insane. Was there a mother-son dance in the book?
No. No.
So the school has a mother-son dance. Which, first of all, way to alienate all the girls in your school. Congratulations. Also, way to alienate all the boys who don't have moms. Congratulations. At this dance, this is a point in the movie. There might have been something else in the book where this happens, but Greg's mom kind of tries to get him to, like, patch things up with Rowley. They're broken up at this point, and Rowley's hanging out with Colin.
No.
Okay. So Greg's mother, in her infinite wisdom, says, oh, Rowley's over there. I know things have been hard. Why don't you just go apologize? No, she doesn't say apologize. What did she say? Why don't you invite him out for ice cream?
You can buy a child's forgiveness with ice cream. So to be fair, that would probably work.
So he goes to invite him out for ice cream or whatever it is. And Rowley's like, no, Colin and I are going to play or whatever. And I don't remember what happens after that until Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys hits. And Rowley's little face lights up. Because kids love the Beastie Boys.
I mean,
every sixth grader knows Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys.
To be fair, we have demonstrated that Rowley is a weirdo.
In fact, Rowley and his mom then take to the dance floor, where they perform a perfectly choreographed dance routine to Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys.
That's really charming, actually.
I was so confused. In retrospect, it's probably the highlight of the movie. Fucking wild. What other notes do I have? So fucking selfish. Hate this kid. Rowley should kick his ass.
So,
dude, just fucking apologize.
know that you mentioned there's multiple like spin-offs and reboots, etc.
Mm-hmm. Three live action sequels. I think the fourth of the series had a new cast though.
So there's a musical in the book or the book and the movie, right? They turned this into a musical.
Fucking why? For what? For what reason? Who's gonna see that shite?
It only ran once.
One performance. Shut it down!
It was in 2016, which was admittedly a dark time.
Ah, yes. The company, or the country is teetering towards fascism. Let's go see a little prick that will grow up to be the next fascist leader of this country. Christ on a cracker. Oh my god. No way. Did they open the, was the opening lyric of the opening song, quote, I don't want to waste my time again? Because that was the opening lyric of the end credits song, which I thought was weirdly fitting.
So, I'm sorry. It was actually performed twice. There was a reworked version of it in 2022.
Ah, yes. We're coming out of the pandemic and we can finally go do something in a crowd. I will sit down for Diary of a Fucking Wimpy Kid.
There was a studio album of songs from the show that was recorded by such Broadway performers as Sutton Foster.
Who?
You don't know who Sutton Foster is?
Uh-uh.
She won the Tony twice.
For this?
No, not for this. For Thoroughly Modern Millie and Anything Goes.
Oh, okay. Real plays.
But she's also been in Grease, Little Women, Drowsy Chaperone, Young Frankenstein, Shrek, Violet, etc.
Oh, you know, real plays and Shrek.
And Norbert Leo Butts.
I'm sorry, his name is Norbert Butts?
Yes. But how do you not know who he is?
Norbert Butts is a fucking character in this book. Norbert Butts is Fregley's uncle.
Oh, poor Fregley.
No, not poor Fregley. That kid's also a sociopath. His mom just has the forethought to ban him from eating candy.
Yeah.
So, at least Fregley apologized for chasing him around with a booger.
He did apologize. Was there a little thing where he just immediately, like...
He's like, I've attached it to this paper so you can do the same to me. And it's like he put his thumb on the booger. Yep. Ew, gross. Booger jokes.
Another piece of trivia about the author. He created the online, or he's primarily created the online video game Pop Tropica.
Isn't that like an orange flavored drink that like comes in a pouch?
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
It sounds like a Capri Sun knockoff.
Ah.
It's like, yo, toss me a Pop Tropica while I rollerblade in this skate park.
It's like an educational, like, online...
I don't want this guy teaching me anything. He went to criminal justice school to make video games and write Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
It's like an MMORPG for children, but it's an educational video game. It's like Neopets, but not...
So RuneScape for dorks?
RuneScape was for dorks.
Sorry, RuneScape for dorks that had no friends?
Yeah, so he's the primary creator for that. I was like, what the fuck?
Luna agrees, what the fuck?
Do you have any, like... Do we have any Where Are They Now since this first one came out in 2010?
Let's talk about this 2010 adaptation a little bit here.
Yeah.
It was directed by Thor Freudenthal, who also directed Percy Jackson's Sea of Monsters and Hotel for Dogs.
Okay.
And that was about it.
Wait, wasn't this kid also in Hotel for Dogs? The kid that played Greg?
He might have been. Actually, I don't think so.
He has that face.
He has that cute Disney face.
Yeah.
Two writing teams on this. The first, Jackie and Jeff Filgo, who had also written something called Take Me Home Tonight. And Jeff Judah and Gabe Sachs, who also wrote Roderick Rules, the sequel. Not a lot of film credits on that crew.
I've never heard of either of those.
Yeah. Greg was played by Zachary Gordon. Rowley was played by Robert Capron. The mom, Susan, was played by Rachel Harris. She was on Lucifer and Goosebumps.
Okay.
Roderick was played by Devin Bostick, who was in Saw 4 and Saw 6. Not as the same character. His scenes were cut from 4, so they put him in 6.
Perfect.
And he was also in fucking Oppenheimer?
Oh, okay.
Mark said that to me. He sent me, like, his IMDb, like, a screen grab, and it was, like, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules, Oppenheimer. Great.
Obviously, you go from Diary of a Wimpy Kid to destroying the world.
So, we didn't talk about this character, because she made no fucking difference to this plot. Angie was played by Chloe Grace Moretz.
Who?
Angie.
Who?
Exactly. Character for the movie specifically. Why? I don't know. When they're in their first gym class, the shirts versus skins bit from the trailer, Rowley and Greg hide under the bleachers and she's hiding under there. She runs the school paper and she's in seventh grade, even though she looks like 15 years older than them. Probably because she's a good actress and like can act and doesn't look like a kid just reading lines. But she's just there, like, she becomes, like, Rowley's friend, but she barely does anything. Like, she doesn't affect plot at all.
Okay.
She's just there. But she's there, and we know her from, you know, Kick-Ass, Carrie, Nimona.
Is it literally just to have a female character that people can attach to that's not Mom?
I guess. I guess someone, like, in production when we need to add some fucking X chromosomes to this or whatever, which is the one.
Because, like,
I didn't think that joke through.
Because, like, I could see, oh, you can't really change the dynamic with, like, making an older sister or making Manny a girl, because then Greg looks like even bigger of an asshole than he already is.
I think you could have gotten away with Roderick being a girl.
But, like, not with the way that this tells stories.
Fair. The dad, Frank, was played by Steve Zahn. He played Rosencrantz in Hamlet 2000. And I think he was the dad in Stuart Little?
Really?
He's like that. You'll recognize his face. He's one of like those guys.
Oh, okay.
Apparently he only did the movie because he used to read these to his kids, which I'm so sorry for your kids, dude. Fregley was played by Grayson Russell and Patty Farrow was played by Lane McNeil. I did a Where Are They Now? It's not that fun.
Aw.
Unfortunately.
No secret Tories.
No secret Tories. Zachary Gordon, who played Greg, he continued acting into the 2020s. Mostly did voice acting. Last year, he tore muscles in his throat.
Oh.
And lost his voice.
Like, permanently? Or?
I don't... It's said that he's on a hiatus. But, like... That's a death knell for a voice actor, and that sucks. Speaking of sucks, Robert Capron, Rowley, he acted until 2019, and at one point in time he developed an eating disorder because of disparaging comments about his weight.
Great.
I don't know, being in a movie that just promotes fat phobia probably led to that, unfortunately. Grayson Russell, who played Fregley, you might know him as Texas Ranger Bobby from Talladega Nights. One of Will Ferrell's kids in that movie.
Nope.
Okay. You haven't seen it.
Nope.
He was also in Greyhound with Tom Hanks a few years ago. That World War II Apple TV movie about the ships, like a naval carrier that's under attack.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it a few years back. It's not bad. It's not, like, great, but it's, you know, it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He recently announced his engagement.
Aww.
Which is good for him.
Yay, something good happened to someone.
And Lane McNeil, Patty Farrell, who's more of an expanded role in the movie than she is in the books. She's still acting. She was in Edge of 17, which we talked about last week.
All right.
And she's in that movie Spontaneous, which is about the kids in the high school who just start spontaneously exploding.
Oh!
Which, if you haven't heard of Spontaneous, watch fucking Spontaneous. That movie is awesome. It's spoiler warning for the opening scene of the movie. The plot is kids in this high school are spontaneously exploding. Just buckets of blood. Popping is a better word. Because it's not a fiery explosion. It is a wet explosion. And this girl basically meets a guy in the police station after the first one explodes. And they fall in love as everyone they know starts popping. And it is a wonderful movie, especially knowing that at any point, any character on screen could just pop. And so there's like a tension underneath a rom-com. It's great. It's such a great movie. Rather talk about that than this. So at least some of the actors are still going, but nothing weird like, oh, he became a professional skydiver. Or, oh, what was I watching? I was watching something the other day where one of the kid actors ended up playing for the Cubs.
Of course.
Like, he was like a pitcher for the Cubs or something. What was it? If I try to remember, I'll sit here forever. They did do a reboot in 2021, an animated one, which I also watched. I don't have as much to say about it. Mercifully short, 56 minutes.
Nice.
On Disney Plus. Pisses me off, though, because the opening credits are animated like the drawings in the book.
The, like, 2D.
The 2D, just like, the drawing from the book. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen the cover. The
devil from the Bible.
The guy. But the rest of the movie after the opening credits is, like, 3D CG.
Ew.
And, like, cheap 3D CG.
Ew.
At least the characters look more like the drawings than in the live-action movie, but it's... I wish they'd have stuck with that 2D animation. It's Disney, though. They're never going back to that. But if they had stuck with, like, that 2D animation style, it might have been, like, more fun. Because they made some changes. They made him a more apologetic character. They named Rumpelstiltskin. There's black kids. I don't know if he apologizes, but he gets hit at one point. Somebody actually lands a punch, which is great.
Good. He deserves it.
Yeah. So it's better, but still not good.
So I think it is safe to say we did not enjoy.
You don't recommend the novel?
No. I can't even in good conscience recommend it to your kids. Like, let your kids read whatever they're willing to read, whatever gets them reading. But, oh God, this is... There's no, like, joy or love in this.
It feels malicious. Like, there's underlying hatred in the words.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt that in the movie, too. Like, someone behind the scenes is getting some hate out in this.
Yeah, like, there's no... It's devoid of, like, goodness.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, like, I don't mean it's bad, although I do mean that, but it's... Like,
there's no heart.
Yeah.
There's no soul. It's just...
Yeah, it's mean. Very soulless.
It's mean.
And little. And it doesn't expand your mind or your experience in any way, except this kid's an asshole.
Yeah. If you want to read something about going to sixth grade for the first time, read Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. If you've got a boy who doesn't want to read that, there's a book by David Lubar called Sleeping Freshmen Never Lie. And it's about a kid going through ninth grade year. It's a little bit more mature than this. A plot point involves a graffiti of the word bitch. So, like, if it's an 11-year-old, maybe not. 13, go for it.
I mean, honestly...
But that book is a much better telling of, like, finding yourself in... Like, entering a new stage in life as a kid and finding out who you are and what makes you popular and what's important and what's not. That, like, this book, like, looks like it's trying to do, but doesn't really.
Like, honestly, I would even recommend the original Captain Underpants or...
Oh, for sure.
Or... Having not read it, the male version of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which was, I said the name last week and I don't remember what it is.
I trust Judy Blume.
Yeah. Like, I would trust Judy Blume to handle something like this more than...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, there's better options than Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Yeah. Diary of a...
Why is he a wimpy kid?
Because he's, like, 4 foot tall and he weighs 65 pounds. Like, when he wrestles in the movie, they weigh him. And I think he comes out at 85, so he doesn't have to wrestle Patty Farrell anymore. But that's because he put his mom's ankle weights in his ankles.
He has a whole thing where he gets a weight bench for Christmas. Because he...
Oh, because his dad gets it for him, right? Because he started wrestling?
Yes, because he started wrestling and he got, like, all into beefing up. So there's literally a whole segment of the plot about him trying to beef up. But he's not a wimp. He's an asshole.
Yeah. Like, it makes more sense, I think, in film because they cast, like, the second scrawniest kid they could find, because they cast the scrawniest kid they could find as Chirac. Is that Chirac?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Indian kid?
Yeah. The wrestling bit had... I wrote down a few lines that did make me chuckle. Because there were a few laughs in it, but one of them was in the wrestling bit when he's, like, the only, like, lightweight. So he's wrestling the only other lightweight, and it's Patty. And Greg is like, this is boys wrestling. And she's hands on hips. Ever hear of Title IX? Nailed it. They find Roderick's dirty mag. Is that in the book?
Yes.
Oh,
no, he doesn't find it.
Rowley does.
Manny takes it school for show and tell.
Oh, that's not in the... Wait, what's... How old is Manny?
Manny is... I think it's preschool, so I think he's like 3.
Okay, so he's 3. Greg is 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Roderick is like 18. What are these parents doing? Every 8 years, they're like, now's the time for another kid. What the fuck are you doing?
They're just too traumatized.
Stop having kids!
I got the impression that Roderick was like 16, 17.
He's driving age at least.
Yeah.
Because he's fucking hot. He's definitely hotboxing in his van in one scene. Like, what was it? Loaded Diaper is the band name, which, great yes. band name. Great band name. With the umlauts and all.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent band name. No, 10 out of 10, no notes. One of his, like, first appearances, the band's first appearance, like, the van stops in front of their house and smoke pours out. I'm like, you are absolutely hotboxing in there, my dude. You fucking stoner. The other line that made me laugh was me. And Rowley. When they're, like, breaking up, Rowley says, my mom thinks you're a bad influence. And I'm like, she's right. And then Rowley is like, she's right. Fucking nailed it. But yeah. Besides, like, a few funny lines, which, that was all of them. I wrote them all down. I thought a butt can't be cute, it's a butt was also pretty funny, but that's in the trailer. And the follow-up. Cute butt. Excellent. Except it's played off as homophobic in the movie.
Of course.
All about timing. But yeah, it's not a good movie. It's not a good movie. If you have a kid or you're babysitting a kid and they absolutely 100% want to watch A Diary of a Wimpy Kid, show them the animated one. It's a little bit better. But it's still not great. So next week we're doing the sequel. Roderick Rules.
I will literally kill you.
I know. I know you will.
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
In Minecraft. Oh, you'll kill me in Minecraft. It's a joke in reality.
So, whatever we're doing next has to be better.
Oh, God, I hope so. Well, I have seen the next one before.
I have not.
So, I do know that the movie is at least better. There's still some criminals involved, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Next time out, we're finishing up our coming of age series.
And actually moving to high school.
And actually moving up to high school here with Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yay!
But until then, we're giving y'all one more week to send us your embarrassing sixth grade tales. Or if you want to tell us a story about when you got your best friend in trouble and didn't fess up... Anything related to what we just talked about.
I feel like we could also probably do embarrassing freshman stories.
Or, yeah, embarrassing high school stories will work too. We'll take it. Something on theme. Send us something on theme to soonmajorpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on our social media accounts. They are all available, at least the ones we want you to know about, in the link tree in the description below this podcast. linktr.ee/soonmajorpod if you don't have eyes. I think I've plugged what needs to be plugged.
I want to make a really foul joke.
Do it. Do it. Don't worry, the closing musical will be loud enough that you can't hear the foul joke, so say the foul joke.
I wish Roderick's mom, Greg's mom, had plugged it. Then we wouldn't have to deal with this shit. We'll be right back.